Anything worth saying is worth talking about. Deprogram with Michael Parker on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Greetings, truth seekers, paradigm busters, new world order, civil disobedience, freedom fighters, free thinkers, higher mammals, good people of all types. How's it going? It is Michael Parker coming to you as always from an undisclosed location somewhere in Los Angeles, California, the myth maker for a civilization. Where it's yet another beautiful day of government overreach and skyrocketing petty crime. It is ground zero for all of that. And I'm here to give you the lowdown on everything that's happening. You know, for the past 30 minutes, I have waited for Merrick Garland to step up to the mic and break down what this whole thing at Mar-a-Lago was really all about. But it seems he can't be on time. It was supposed to be at 11:30 our time. And that was 30 minutes ago. So unless he just walked up to the mic just then, and apparently the White House is saying that, guess what? We didn't know he was going to speak today. It seems like they don't know a lot about a lot. They didn't apparently know that the raid was going to happen in Mar-a-Lago either. So we'll have to wait and see. And perhaps during the show at the second or third break, I will have more information. I will certainly relay that to you. I'm going to be joined in just a second by AJ Rice. And I've been looking forward to speaking with AJ for a while. We're going to talk about his brand new book, The Woking Dead, How Society's Vogue Virus Destroys Our Culture. And speaking of culture, today, instead of giving you a news story, I thought I would just give you a little something to think about. And that's how and why we do what we do here at Deprogram, and just how I kind of feel about 2022 and probably the last 10 to 15 years of the United States. And let's go back. Think for a second. The original punk rockers, the original rebels with a clue, the original DIYers were the founding fathers of the United States. Long before the Sex Pistols and the Clash spoke truth to power and the crown at their first gigs in 1976, the founding fathers threw down the real gauntlet in the summer of 1776. Long before the now woke and super hokey D. Snyder said, "We're not going to take it," the electric Benny Franklin and lights on Thomas Jefferson and their posse wrote a little ditty called The Declaration of Independence. It was a hit. It changed the world. Second album came out in 1787. It was called The Constitution, another hit that was ahead of its time. It creates a government that puts the power in the hands of the people. Unheard of, mind-blowing, innovative, bold. Pretty punk rock. The deluxe edition would come out 2 years later in 1789 with bonus content called the Bill of Rights. That sealed the deal as a masterpiece of history, and the world took notice. The founders and their movement were so bold and impressive in vision that even the real Bavarian Illuminati, as founded by Adam Weishaupt, viewed the American Revolution as inspiration and kindred spirits. That's not a joke. Look it up. I've covered this on my shows before. The original Illuminati, the one that we all love to talk about in pop culture, well, they were kind of a college frat, but they were inspired by the American Revolution. That's how OG we are. So fast forward to today. Almost 250 years later, parts of the government are trying to claw that power back from the people. And there are some people asleep at the wheel, double-masked inside their car, raging with fear and confusion, deciding which pronouns to declare, ready to give it all back. Meanwhile, on their radio, once edgy alternative rockers like Rage Against the Machine and Dave Grohl demand that you get vaxxed or you can't come to our show. Hip-hop just as sold out, replacing the poetry of the rebellious street culture it came from to now embracing excess and mumbling about that ass. Classic rockers like the Rolling Stones, who I love, refuse to play Brown Sugar live. Mick Jagger's afraid he's going to hurt somebody's feelings. Somebody's going to get upset. Not very rock and roll, if you ask me. What happened to us? Why are we so ready to comply and be pacified and literally neutered in some cases? Well, the good news is I don't believe that everyone is. For example, if you're listening to this station right now or in the future, you're listening to my voice. You are the people who are going to save us. You are the people we've been waiting for. There's no Marvel-style superheroes, no caped Batman-style anti-hero vigilantes, just regular people who've had enough. People who believe in something, people who know when they are being lied to, they know when they're being played. People who believe in freedom, liberty, truth. That's you and me. We are Legion. Let's act like it. This is TNT Radio.
The latest headlines waiting for you.
I follow the news pretty much throughout the day.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
All right, folks. So every now and then we have to get things off our chest, do a little head check, and get back into feeling our own power. And my guest this hour, you got to understand, when we do these shows and you're in this machine, how we do things, the machine needs oil. The machine needs to work. And the man that you're going to meet in this hour is one of the people who makes this work. He's one of the people that you've probably appreciated the work that he's done and never knew who he was. This is a man who's behind a lot of very famous radio and television people that you've seen. He's a radio producer. He's a publisher. He's a righteous dude. He's the president and CEO of Publius PR. He's the editor-in-chief of the Publius National Post. He is the author of a brand new book, The Woking Dead, How Society's Vogue Virus Destroys Our Culture. You should see the artwork. It's badass. AJ, welcome to the show.
Brother Michael, good to be here. Glad to be finally talking to TNT's audience.
I'm glad you're here too. And I realized the other day, it's like, wait a minute, AJ's never been on he's going to be on my show. And so I wanted to reach out to you. So I'm very pleased that you're here, because I don't want to give away too many trade secrets, but a lot of the fine guests that we get here on TNT come via the hard work that you do over at Publius. And I appreciate it.
No, we appreciate you. We appreciate the audience. Look, we try to bring the best content, the best analysts, authors possible. I've thrown my own hat into the ring now, but our day job over here is delivering extremely high caliber content to shows like yours.
And even before I was doing this show, I was working on other shows and have always booked through you guys and have always had great success with that. So not to belabor the point, let's talk about this book, because I've been reading it and I've picked a couple of little chapters. I've also been listening to some interviews that you've done with other people. And we have a few mutual friends. I'm not going to name them here. But I don't want to give it all away, but I had to pick out a couple of chapters that I want to discuss. And ladies and gentlemen, there is this kind of running comparison to horror films. And first of all, let's just talk about the title, The Woking Dead, How Society's Vogue Virus Destroys Our Culture.
Well, look, I'm a fan of The Walking Dead, both the graphic novel and the show. I think they're finally going to wrap it up after 15 years. I think that show's been on the air since I was 15.
Huge.
And I'm 40.
And I'm way older than you.
Look, I'm a big pop culture guy.
Me too.
I want to use the imagery of the George Romero zombie posters, and the Woking Dead is a parody of The Walking Dead. Now the Vogue virus, in most of these zombie movies, the zombieism usually comes from some kind of virus that escaped the lab. Well, we do have a virus that escaped the lab. We actually looks like probably two. The one I'm talking about is not the one from China. The one I'm talking about is the one that's been hatched in the petri dishes of the left-wing Death Star here in the United States. And it comes in many forms. It comes in many forms, critical race theory, microaggressions, yes, things of that nature. And I wanted to push back. So this is your Woking Dead zombie survival guide.
Well, I wrote that little monologue today to address these exact things that you're talking about as well, because I think you and I see the world very similarly. And I, like yourself, I'm a total pop culture savant, music freak. And I see in my life, I'm older than you. And it's just, I tell people this sometimes, not to be that old guy, but it's just, I just think about growing up and my head was filled with possibility and like, you know what? I can do whatever I want. I'm not going to break the law too much, but, you know, I could do whatever I want and but I'm a good guy and I'm going to do the right thing. And I don't need the government to tell me how to live my life. I'm intelligent enough to know what is right and wrong. And I'm going to treat people well whenever I can and just do the right thing because that's in my best interest to do the right thing. Now, it seems like we've raised a country of drones who need to be told everything to do. And meanwhile, the culture is not very good. And I think that's part of the issue as well. Sometimes when you're in tough times, it makes you create great art. And right now, you would think that we'd be making some great art. I don't really see it. But anyway, that's the reason I wrote that.
We're not. I mean, look, I was listening to your monologue. It's amazing. You listed a bunch of examples. Most of the people you're talking about existed in some form of counterculture movement. So whether it's gangster rap, or whether it's, you know, the grunge movement from the Pacific Northwest, I heard you mention,
which I love,
you know, whether it's the Stones, the Beatles, and the British Invasion. I mean, these guys were supposedly raging against the machine, right? They were, whether it's NWA, Wu-Tang Clan, or Nirvana, Pearl Jam, Soundgarden, whoever 100%. It is. I mean, that's what they built their audience on. That's what gave them credibility. You were talking about punk rock. Whether it's the Sex Pistols or the Ramones or the Dead Kennedys, these are people that were not going to comply, right? And what 100%. Has happened? I didn't even. I mean, other than Van Morrison and a few other people, I mean, what has
and Clapton?
Happened? Clapton. I didn't even know that the Stones weren't playing Brown Sugar anymore. I had to, yep. And it took me a second to realize why they might not be. I mean, this is how insane it is.
Yes,
but this is the Woking Dead. What they want is they want control. They want to change our behavior. They want to remove jokes. They want to remove songs. They want to remove Tim Allen's voice from the Buzz Lightyear movie. Whatever they can to put us through, really, this sort of soft authoritarianism in order to get us to behave the way they deem is appropriate.
AJ, I would even put forth if they could remove our soul and still have us pay taxes and go to work and be under lock and key and under their thumb, they would go for that because that's really what we're talking about. You're talking about just squeezing all the blood from the stone, you know, and just let's just remove everything. But as long as they can still pay taxes, they can still go to work, they can still take shots and all these things. I don't want to belabor the point because we're in agreement, but I have to ask you about a couple of chapters because you and I are on the same page. So I just picked a couple. And since we were talking about music, let's go ahead and skip ahead to Morrissey. Like Morrissey, you make the point like this guy, I mean, when they're coming out,
he was the
when they're coming out against Morrissey.
That's just it. And honestly, that's where when I wrote that section, that's where the term the Woking Dead originated. Because I know the Smiths and Morrissey and,
great
and
band.
I mean, this is not, yeah, but Morrissey's not exactly Sean Hannity or no. Mark Levin or you or me. I mean, here's a guy that pretty much, you know, down the line embraces almost every sort of left wing, you know, environmentalist, vegan stuff. I mean, plant-based this, animal cruelty stuff. And he, I guess he went on the Tonight Show and he had a sort of Brexit, you know, British first pin on, and they went crazy. They went crazy on Morrissey. I mean, look, that's the thing about revolutions, isn't it? They eventually turn on themselves and eat their own.
We have friends. I came up during all that, like the 80s. I love that. Well, I'm a music geek, but I love the 80s. And I loved all the New Romantics. I loved punk rock. I loved the whole thing that came out. I was never a huge Morrissey fan. We kind of made fun of him a little bit because me and my brother, we thought we were hard punk rockers and he was kind of whiny. But I like the guy better now than ever. And we have friends in our social circle. They're like, oh, my God, what am I going to do now? It's like, you know, I can't listen to Morrissey anymore.
Well, it's funny. A version of that piece actually was published in Human Events. And they started getting bombarded by the nutty, kooky Euro trash Morrissey fans, trying to like rewrite the piece, or you don't really know what he was thinking. And they were trying to do damage control when it looks like Morrissey might have been red pilled right in front of them and they couldn't see it.
I think he was red pilled. Listen, these people, artists, I mean, they see things, well, the good ones, they see things before the populace does, and that's kind of their role in society, in my opinion. And I'm sure that he was hip to a lot of information. And, you know, he's a smart guy. He's well-read. That's why he wrote good lyrics. He's well-read. So he probably just, you know, he's an interesting guy. And imagine,
well, what said, they actually found out. I mean, I guess his biggest crime was he loved his country too much. And he didn't want to be part of some ridiculous, polyglot, goofy EU. You know, I mean, at the end of the day, that's what I think his crime was. I mean, and that's just crazy. I mean, look,
it is crazy.
There are left wing people that are flipping. I mean, I think we've had Naomi Wolf, who's one of our clients, on with you
twice. Bobby, I mean, Kennedy, I'm a huge fan, by the way.
Yeah. So, like, obviously, Naomi has left her former tribe, but what's funny is, she hasn't really changed her positions on things.
No,
they have. It's the old, you know, the old Reagan adage, the Democratic Party. I didn't leave the Democratic Party. The Democratic Party left me. So, yes. You know, I mean, that's the thing with her, with, you know, Bobby Kennedy Jr. to some degree. And look, there are sort of progressive, obviously liberal, but with a libertarian bent media people out there, like, say, Bill Maher, or Barry Weiss from formerly the New York Times. David Rubin is no registered. David Rubin's not a registered Republican. Dave Chappelle isn't exactly Ben Carson, right?
Nope.
And they're blowing the whistle on this because they see it for what it is. George Carlin warned us. I think George Carlin, I was on the phone one time with Jimmy Norton and Anthony Cumia from the old Opie and Anthony show. And they told me on their show, Carlin said, when fascism comes, it's going to come from the left trying to control our language.
He was extremely prescient, and maybe he was the actual Nostradamus. I'm speaking with AJ Rice. We got to take our first break. We're talking about his brand new book, The Woking Dead, How Society's Vogue Virus Destroys Our Culture. I'm going to pull out a few more chapters to ask him about on the other side. We'll be right back.
You should hear what Rick Munn's talking about.
In England. Oh, yes. England. Good old England, eh? Good old Blighty. Well, 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 guess what? There's a recession, and we're in the middle of it, and it's going to get worse, as predicted. Not doom merchants, not gloom merchants, not prophets of doom. Simply joining the dots. Yes, we like to join the dots at TNT Radio. We get a lot of flack for it, but hell's bells, eventually, the media come around, and even the governor of the Bank of England comes around and validates the things that we have been hypothesizing for the previous several months. Bank of England governor defends rate hike ahead of looming recession. So he's whacking the interest rates up in the UK by 0.5 percentage point, which is the biggest single rise in decades. UK economy is to be in recession for more than a year. Listen, it's going to be a heck of a lot more than a year. This ain't going away within 12 months. This is just the beginning.
Locked and Loaded with Rick Munn on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Wokeness is infiltrating churches, and people don't really know what's hitting them.
Critical race theory assumes that racism is everywhere, it is in everything. These ideologies have crept into the church.
I have grown up with this invisible kind of bag of privilege.
And I know, as a white pastor, I have blind spots.
Reparations fits into the scope of the gospel.
It's a racist worldview. You're swimming in racism.
The social justice warriors say, if you're white, you are racist. And if you say that you are not a racist, then you have to be a white supremacist.
I see within evangelicalism today an attack on the very gospel itself.
Social justice doesn't have to do with justice, it has to do with Marxism.
Wokeness is now the dominant academic paradigm on many university and college campuses.
Many of our Christian universities have fallen prey.
And I went to an all-black school, raised in a black context. Everything was oppression. White people are racist, cops can't be trusted, and this world is not for us, it's against us. We felt like the government owed us. I have a family, I have children, and I don't have a job. I was just, it was at the darkest point in my life.
Because I was white, would we have to divorce and separate due to my skin color?
Christianity enables people to find forgiveness and redemption. However, Marxism is completely vindictive.
There is no redeemer and there is no redemption in the religion of anti-racism.
I believe that the evangelical church today is going to have to make a decision. Are we going to submit to the culture, or are we going to remain true to the faith and take the consequences?
How the left is stealing your church. The invasion of the gospel of woke at salemnow.com.
What? Are you kidding me?
If you can't believe what you're hearing, then get the straight talk from us. Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know if Merrick Garland ever showed up or not. Because I'm doing a radio show, so I can't listen to that. But if somebody wants to text me and tell me what old Merrick had to say for himself, I'd be glad to hear it. I speak with AJ Rice. We're talking about his brand new book, The Woking Dead, How Society's Vogue Virus Destroys Our Culture. And AJ, like myself, you know, he likes the humor and he's damn funny. And we have to talk about things that are so heavy sometimes. I like to try to keep the show funny because we got to laugh. I mean, we can't just be all doom and gloom, but there's some serious issues at hand. And we're going to run down a couple of them. Number one at hand, and actually not number one because he's clearly not in charge. AJ, you have a chapter called Joe Biden Funeral Home President. It would be funny, and it is funny, but it's also the truth, and it's very sad. What's that all about?
Well, definitely. I'm going to give you a little update, though. It looks like, because I am being updated on Merrick Garland. He wasn't out there long. He did come out there, the supposed attorney general. And it sounds like he admitted to personally giving the green light to the raid. And it looks like he spoke for only a couple minutes. And it looks like he basically is, the DOJ filed a motion to have the warrant unsealed. So there's a tug of war going on there. It's an optics thing. It really is public relations, quite frankly.
Yes.
A little bit of tete-a-tete between Trump's lawyers and him. But it doesn't look like much news was broken beyond that. So, but I, like you, I had it muted, so we'll have to wait and see. I'll have to play it back. Back to Joe Biden, though. So he is the funeral home president, not just because he's a reanimated corpse himself leading the woken dead.
Exactly.
But because
something
quite
worse.
Frankly, his first year of COVID, I mean, the death meter, which got taken down off of CNN, probably broke with the amount of people that were croaking from the virus that he claimed him and Fauci claimed that they were going to get rid of. So, I mean, look, people are still dying. Nobody wants to report it. People are dying not only from the virus, people are dying from the vaccine. So, you know, he is overseeing a collapse. And it's not just a collapse of our health. It's our collapse of our economy. It's a collapse of our culture. It's a collapse of his ability to put on a suit jacket. The problem here is we have a rudderless ship. He's basically shot. It's kind of like an empty trash can that all the kooks around him, all the progressive woke kooks, are filling it with woke potpourri. All their hopes and dreams are going into this. And old Ron Burgundy just reads the prompter and signs what gets put in front of him.
Yes. AJ, one of the saddest things I read in that chapter, because you're right, people are dying from COVID, but they're also dying from the vaccine and they're killing themselves. Suicide is now, this comes from your book, suicide is now the second most common cause of death after accidents for teens and young adults, accounting for approximately 10.6 deaths per 100,000. That is your stat. But I mean, who didn't see this coming? And the lockdowns and the continued idea that maybe we'll do them again one day, there is nothing, there's not a worse idea that you could have. And the, all of these deaths of despair that arose out of this, I don't know how people didn't see it coming. I don't think the people in charge give a damn. And then on the other hand, they came up with this term a month or two or three ago. People are dying of SADS. That's an acronym that means sudden adult death syndrome. Athletes and teens are dying too, but total mystery, total mystery.
Well, what's amazing is if this was happening under a Republican, there would be breathless coverage. We'd have to stop. We'd have to have a conversation. We'd have a suicide awareness. Anderson Cooper, who had a family member commit suicide. I mean, he would be on all day and night interviewing people and doing this and doing that. I mean, but because this is sort of the hidden epidemic, no one wants to talk about it. I mean, mainly because the reason these kids are killing themselves has causality. And the causality is you cannot shut down a generation like Gen Z. I mean, I'm a millennial, so it's younger than me. So I'm Gen Y, which is millennial. You cannot shut down a generation that already, you know, was basically born with a computer screen in their hands, already has a hard time with, interpersonal communications. You tell all the males in that generation that with the Me Too movement says they're all rapists, right? You emasculate them. You take the father out of the home. You replace the father with a computer screen, right? You shut down their sports. You shut down their after-school activities. They can't interact with each other. They can barely string a sentence together. They certainly can't write one with a subject and a predicate. And then you expect them all to be contributing, healthy members of society. I mean, let's go back to something you said in the first segment. You basically said that they want us to be these plugged-in drones. They want us to be, they want us to comply. They want us to accept every premise they feed us. Well, I mean, they've basically created a generation of drones that are probably going to do that. And the ones that can't take it, kill themselves.
I'm speaking with AJ Rice. That was a powerful riff he just did. I got to take a break. And it comes at a good time because this is our bottom of the hour news break. I'm speaking with AJ Rice. That was good stuff. This is TNT's Deprogram. I'm Michael Parker. We'll be right back.
This is James O'Neill with a check of today's headlines. The Russian Foreign Ministry says that Ukraine's shelling of the Zaporizhzhia nuclear power plant is an act of terrorism that could trigger a disaster that would eclipse the 1986 Chernobyl incident. German Chancellor Olaf Scholz has said the responsibility for the conflict in Ukraine lies with the Russian government and not its people, and therefore it is hard to imagine a complete visa ban for Russian citizens.
On air and on the app.
I listen on the app.
Stay up to date around the clock.
I listen, therefore I know.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
The Woking Dead, they walk among us. The Woking Dead, how society's Vogue virus destroys our culture. I'm speaking with the author, AJ Rice. We're going to move on to another topic. And I've got a couple more because we have limited time. But you call Kamala Harris the Mary Sue vice president. Explain that.
Well, like we were talking about earlier, I'm a fan of pop culture, and there has developed this concept in the sort of sci-fi horror, Game of Thrones, fantasy world where, I mean, it originated from a Star Trek episode. So a Mary Sue, and there's a male version of this too. A Mary Sue is someone that arrives on the scene miraculously perfect with no flaws. Okay. Someone that didn't have to earn their superhero powers, that didn't have to be trained by, Yoda or Obi-Wan or in Kill Bill, right? Pai Mei training the bride. So they arrive perfect. They already have all their powers. You cannot defeat them. How dare you say anything bad about this person? Because this person walks on water. This is an angelic, paladin-like figure that cannot be questioned. And that's her. That's her. I mean, that's what's going on with her. At least that's the way the media has projected her on us. And obviously, ladies and gentlemen, that is not true. This is probably the most flawed vice president since her boss.
I'm baffled by it all because I go when I think about the primaries, she and Brandon, I mean, they were at the very bottom of the class as far as popularity, and yet they were the ones that eventually get the nomination, and now we're all having to live under them. Hey, but Kamala, I mean, she seems so incredibly untalented and disorganized. And
what's amazing, what's amazing is she got out of the race right around the same time Biden did in 2008 when he was running against Obama. And basically he pulled her out of the same trash can that Obama pulled him. I mean, these are not the best and brightest folks. No. I mean, these are not people that sign the front of a paycheck. These are backbenchers. Okay. That's who's running your government. Third stringers, people that Bobby Knight would throw chairs at. I mean, these are not the best among us. Okay. But yet they're in control of your entire government. These people.
And, you know, you bring up in that chapter before we move on, just this absolute complete, you know, Biden puts her in charge of the border. Well, the border, I mean, this is a national security issue magnitude 5. I mean, this is Richter scale off the charts problem. I guess she finally went down there one time because you mentioned in the book, but I mean, I don't know that the woman has done anything at all in relationship to the situation at the border.
I mean, he's put her in charge of a bunch of things, but it's all just bromides. It's just garbage. It's just, you know, breakout sessions. And she got close to the border once. I guess, I mean, look, when she was the Attorney General of California, she was arresting black people for dime bags of marijuana. So,
yeah.
I mean, I guess he thought she was some kind of sheriff, but I mean, she is Barney Fife. I mean, she's not, she can't stop what's going on at this border. Mm-hmm. I mean, look, they like what's happening. They like it. They like the chaos. Yes. So, you know, I mean, anything you put her in charge of, and look, she can't keep a staff. I mean, I'm talking to you live from Swamp Central, and I've been in D.C. for a decade and a half, and they haven't come and taken me away yet. But maybe after this interview, they will. But I've seen good staff and I've seen bad staff. And this is more than just bad staff. This is more than just her being poorly managed. She's just not that talented. And I think they thought, I mean, say what you want about Barack Obama. He was masterful at faking it. I mean, he was a genius at faking it. I mean, Bill Precisely. Clinton was very good, too. Yeah, Bill Clinton was very good, too. I think they were getting, you know, Serena Williams or, you know, Jackie Robinson's sister with her. But instead, they got Mary Sue, a nobody that we're all supposed to believe is perfect.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. Well, let's move on. It's another chapter that you had that poked out to me because I'm like, wow, AJ's on the same page as me. And what year was this idea? Okay, June 2019, I went back through some of my old podcasts and things, and I was like, wow, you've got a chapter called Bubonic California. Now, because I'm in LA, we talk a lot about the endemic rot and just terrible things that are happening in Los Angeles. And I have a love-hate relationship with Los Angeles. I moved here from Texas 30 years ago to work in the music industry. And so,
wow.
And I had
Might
visions
be time to
of,
go back.
Well, brother, it's that will be happening. But anyway, you have this chapter called Bubonic California, and you pointed out something that I was pointing out in 2019, like people had, and when COVID came around, it just took it off the screens. And what you talk about in Bubonic California was just how bad it was. And I had a thing called Rats, LA Gets Medieval and descends into the abyss. But tell us what bubonic California is about.
Well, I mean, look, bubonic
metaphors turn into reality.
The bubonic plague showed up in California. I mean, this is insane. The fact
that's what I thought.
It's such a collapsed state. It's so disgusting. It's like something out of a dystopian novel. The fact that, I mean, it's not just bubonic plague. Just this week, they are having currently in New York City, and maybe I'll write something about this in the future, a polio outbreak.
Right.
Are you kidding me? So,
and I'm skeptical about this, AJ. I'm skeptical about this.
Well, now it's real, and I'll tell you where it's coming from.
No, I do think it's real.
I know where you're going. Well, I know where you're going, but let me just say this.
Okay.
Long before COVID, let's say a decade ago, when I was producing shows, most notably Laura Ingraham and Monica Crowley. So Brother Pat would come in the studio, and Brother Pat, who, you know, he's still hanging on. He's still out there. He doesn't do interviews anymore. Was Brother Pat Buchanan.
Oh, now, yeah.
Pat would come in and he'd have a list. He'd have a graph. He'd have a list of all the third world diseases that have been showing up that week across America. And he'd come in and he'd go, Michael, I'm telling you, my friend, he said, my friend, we got Chagas, we got dengue fever, we got whooping cough, we got foot and mouth disease, we got bubonic plague. It's running. Yeah. It's in San Diego. It's in Brownsville, Texas. This is what he would do. He would come in and he would have a pat. What diseases we got today? And the reality is modern medicine wipes some of these things out.
Yeah.
But if you have borders wide open and you're letting the entire jungle of Central and South America wander across the border of people that, you know, have either not been vaccinated to some of these things from the 20th century, some of these things from the 19th century, like dropsy and croup and scabies and typhus and all these other crazy things, then you're going to have medieval diseases come back to life. And they're here. I hope everyone's happy because they're here.
Let me say one thing about LA. When I was doing that story back in 2019, and interestingly enough, just as 2020 was the year of the rat in Chinese astrology. And I pointed that out in my little thing. I was trying to be humorous, but who, you know, I guess it should have been the year of the bat. But one thing I was going to say about we had all kinds of issues that you enumerate in that chapter about why this happened in LA. But one of the craziest ones, and listen, nobody dislikes mountain lions. We love our mountain lions. But part of the idea that we had in California is like, listen, we're going to have to get rid of rodenticides because that is killing the mountain lions, because the mountain lions will eat the rats and then they get poisoned. I love the mountain lions, man. No, nobody dislikes the mountain lions. Yet, you know, we had a situation that got so bad in a city of God knows how many people, with 60,000 homeless people defecating and urinating on the streets. It was just ridiculous. And you're right. So then we wind up with typhus and smallpox.
That makes no sense to me. I mean, because there are species of mountain lions, and we call them in Pennsylvania, we call them Nittany lions. And in South Carolina, they call them panthers. But the reality is that there are big cats all over the place in the United States, and they're eating all kinds of things.
Yeah.
And the issue isn't there. I mean, unless your rats are being grown in the basement of Nancy Pelosi's house, you know, I mean, which they might be.
Right.
And they've got some, there's some mutant bubonic rats. I mean, that just doesn't make any sense to me. I mean, you've got a human refuse issue there.
Yeah. No, what they were saying was that the rodenticide that was killing the rats was then poisoning the mountain lions. But, you know, and listen, I have friends who are big into the whole save the mountain lion thing, and I'm pro mountain lion. But I was like, listen, one thing at a time. Okay. But anyway, right. So that's that. We'll tie off of the bubonic thing. Oh, let me just throw in one other thing about the polio thing. I'm not saying that I don't believe it's real, but what they're not really telling you is that there's different strains of polio. And because I started covering this on the London sewers like months ago, and now they've got an issue in London. Well, part of this is vaccine-induced polio. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, you heard that right. We'll talk more about it at another time, but that's a thing. So let's move on
that's the first I've heard that, but I mean, look.
AJ, look into it. It's a real thing.
I mean, polio. I mean, any way you slice it, polio's back, and half the country voted for it 2 years ago.
Yep. So we've got a little, well, you know what? Alex, let's go ahead and take that final break, because we're going to end on a positive side, because in Section 7, AJ sees something that I hope is happening. So this is TNT Radio. I'm speaking with AJ Rice, and this is the program. I'm your host, Michael Parker. We're having a good time here on a Thursday. We'll be back in just a moment.
De-weaponizing weather with reality and perspective.
Oh, where is the hurricane season? Oh, where can it be? Now look.
TNT listeners. The rest of this has to be better. And when you recoil from the horror of climate change, just think you went through listening to me sing. The fact is, the hurricane season in the Atlantic is only 20% of normal right now. We are anticipating it to come to life big time later this month and on into September. As a matter of fact, there are some correlations to years where the East Coast of the United States gets hit worse. Speaking of the Eastern United States, it's going to cool down quite a bit. Western Europe is boiling away, but they're going to cool down in week two. And Central Asia, holy smokes, major cold shock coming in next week. This is WeatherBell.com meteorologist Joe Bastardi for TNT. Asking you to enjoy the weather. It is the only weather you've got.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
When you listen to us, you're always guaranteed straightforward, easy to understand, coherent conversation.
So I've made it a priority in my entire career to work closely with you from the time I got to the Senate 180 years ago.
And we stand by those words.
But I made very clear to Putin that we're not going to seek excuse me. So the best way to get something done, if it holds near and dear to you, that you like to be able to... Anyway.
Oh, man. Just stop talking.
TNT.
All right, higher mammals. We're having a good day here on the old deprogram. Our whole purpose is to deprogram the programmed, and that's what we're doing right now. I speak with A.J. Rice. After A.J., I'm going to have Dr. Jerome Corsi back, which I'm pretty psyched about. He's going to give us a little insight into getting the occasional subpoena and what he thinks of the raid. But AJ, one of the articles that I was reading about you compared you to the Wizard of Oz, the man behind the curtain, and I'm pro wizard personally.
Well, that's one of my many nicknames. People have been trying to get me to step out from behind the curtain for some time, and you know I was only going to do it for a good reason. And I think the book, which is a sort of siren call to wake up the country to wokeism, was a good time to do it. I have to say this. I played sports. I follow sports. I don't like some of the woke nonsense
that
goes on in the NBA and the NFL. But
yep.
One thing that I say to people is nobody wants to be coached by someone who hasn't played the game. So we've done thousands of books, represent hundreds of organizations. Most of them political, although we've done sports books and novels and memoirs. And, you know, I figured I would throw my hat in the ring and feel, you know, get the feeling of what all my clients are constantly dealing with. So I'm sort of putting myself through the gauntlet here. And basically, this is more or less a thank you tour, because I'm getting a chance to speak with hosts like you and their audience to thank them for, you know, for years of content, putting on our people and opening up their minds and in a lot of cases, buying their products.
Well, the rush for me in all of this is getting to talk to really interesting, cool people like yourself and hopefully put out ideas to inspire a sense of awe in people and empower them. And like, listen, man, we don't have to be downtrodden. We don't have to buy all this nonsense they're selling us. Turn the TV off. Find sources that you trust and go down that path with them a little bit. And I hope that we're building something here. And I hope that people hear you and I and go, you know what? Those guys made sense to me and they were pretty fun. I'm going to give them a chance. So now we get to the optimistic side, because this is a big book. You've got vignettes. You've got many, many, many topics that you cover. I'm just choosing a couple. But one thing that you foresee, I think, possibly, and this is in section 7, our great awakening. You have one particular part that says, does cancel culture have an expiration date? My gut and my heart, I think it does, because I think things are cyclical. I've often said on the show, and ladies and gentlemen, you're probably going to cancel me right now, but I've said to people in the past, it's like when we look back at the 60s, like, wow, you remember when we were all hippies and, you know, we were doing drugs and, you know, and this, that, and the other thing. I think we may look back at this period and you're like, you remember when we were all super alienated and disassociated and cut our genitals off?
Yeah, and running talented people out of town.
Yeah.
And canceling people. And I mean, look, there's always been Salem witch trials. Okay. Every culture does it. Every culture finds someone to light on fire. And they do it for different reasons. You know, in the past it was, you know, religion or God told me to do it, or, you know, they're the devil has them possessed or whatever the hell it is. But, you know, in the modern era, and it, you know, you could go back 100 years. I mean, there's been all kinds of people censored. I mean, they were censoring Orwell. They were censoring Graham Greene novels. They wanted to censor Hemingway. There were films that they tried to censor. So if you come all the way forward to today, I mean, really, we're fighting the thought police, the joke police. But this isn't new. It's not new. I mean, we are, it's a multimedia, you know, environment now. So you can be canceled in ways in the past where you couldn't. But I mean, I warned people when, and I wrote about it, I think in the Journal of American Greatness, that when, you know, Will Smith got up on stage and slapped Chris Rock, that was going to be the next step in this, the next step in cancel culture. And that was to make it physical. Mm-hmm. Lo and behold, a couple of weeks later, some guy's jumping on stage with a knife going after Chappelle. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that in and of itself is scary. Now, do I think that there's an expiration date? Yeah. I mean, I think that people, you know, you have to bring the liberals along. But the more liberals that sort of take Bill Maher's advice and stand up like a real libertarian for free speech, regardless of what they think about immigration or Trump or Biden, if they stand there, if we all die on that hill together, that will bring us together and that'll put an end to cancel culture.
You say in the book, you say the wokes are traitors to freedom of speech. Yes, they are. To thought, to association, they're killing our country and stifling our culture. But part of it is almost an illusion. Because they're amplified by media, they actually appear to have more power than they have. And when I think of Antifa, who just drives me crazy, they're just some nerds that get violent and are breaking the law, but they've made them into these, like, you know, ninjas, and they're kind of a symbol of all of this. But I think eventually it burns itself out because people are like, you know what, that's bullshit, man. That is just complete bullshit. I bought it for a little bit. Now it's cutting into this aspect of my life. And I hope, because some people ask me why I'm optimistic sometimes, and it's because I believe in novelty. It's like, let's go back to music. Nobody saw Kurt Cobain coming along, changing the game. It's like every now and then somebody has an idea or taps into an underlying emotion that's already there, but they're finally the vector that lets the genie out of the bottle. And I don't know who it's going to be. I don't know what it's going to be. I think this thing at Mar-a-Lago was a huge gamble that they're going to lose on, because a lot of people that didn't want to vote for Trump are now going to vote for Trump because they're like, screw that, man. This is absolutely out of control. And now we got 87,000 new IRS people. They're coming for me for saying this, that, or the other thing. So I think sometimes you overplay your hand and that begins to tip the cart. So I hope that there's some light at the end of the tunnel.
Well, I think the run-of-the-mill Democrat goes along with some of the CRT stuff and the pronoun stuff and some of this other, you know, mind-bending woke garbage, because the donor class and the young kids are for it. Now, these people are broke. They're broke. So, you know, do I think Italian Catholic Nancy Pelosi agrees with everything? I mean, I can't get inside her head, what's left of it. But, I mean, I think that what happens, though, is it sneaks up on them, right? They were caught totally by surprise by Glenn Youngkin's victory in Virginia. And I can tell you, because I live in Virginia outside of the swamp, that most of the motivation there, the reason the electorate swung 10 points from Biden to Youngkin, is because college educated people started looking at some of this stuff, garbage that the government schools were sending home with their children, and they freaked. So it's very trendy, and that's why I call it the Vogue virus, because it's in vogue right now, but it might not be. I mean, certain people, both parties, independents in particular, when they get a hold of this stuff, you know, the country's terrible, Jefferson sucks, Elijah Muhammad's wonderful, Alexander Hamilton isn't, whatever the hell it is, they are waking up from it. And Youngkin is just maybe the first domino. We'll see what happens in November, but this is playing out across the country, and they're trying to rack up points to energize their base. I mean, this raid on Trump's house, they're raising money off of this. They're raising money. I mean, this energized their base. This and this crap sandwich that the Senate passed, the House now is going to pass, they're trying to rack up victories because they know their base is dispirited, and they know they're losing independence, and that his poll numbers are in the outhouse.
Yeah. The wins, you're right. I mean, they're trying to rack up the wins, and I hear that, and I have to wonder, like, wow, do you guys really hate the orange man that bad that you're going to go on with this and on with this and on with this? At what level do you finally step away and say, listen, you know what, I've had enough. My city sucks.
Well, look,
making less money. Gas is $7 a gallon in LA. Crime is through the roof. I'm having to worry about polio. Like, I mean, at what point do you say, hey, we are now third world status and collapsing below that, and we look ridiculous? At what point do you pull yourself up and say, we got to fix this?
Do you remember when Trump got hammered for calling a bunch of third world countries asshole countries? Oh, the president, he was talking about this country in the Caribbean and South America and this one in Asia and this and that. They were asshole countries. Well, I have a vignette in the book that basically says Biden has turned us into a asshole country.
Good
and,
point.
You know, to echo what you just said, I mean, there is a collapse of society taking place at the edges, moving towards the nucleus. I mean, it's outrageous. I mean, the average family's got to spend $400 more a month because diaper man in the White House can't figure out how to run the government. It's outrageous. That's $6,000 a year. So people have had enough. Between that and the 1619 Project garbage getting inside their kids' heads, telling black people to hate white people and white people to hate black people and on,
yeah,
they have had it. They've had it. Go to the polls in November, get a copy, please, of The Woking Dead, and wave it around at those poll watchers.
AJ, one last thing, because we got like 2 minutes left. I just want to run this past you. I know you're in D.C., but so one thing that we've talked about on the show a little bit. So we've got this mayoral race coming up in November, and it's Karen Bass versus Rick Caruso. And, you know, what's crazy about the Karen Bass thing, again, an untalented, in my opinion, politician. But man, they are circling the wagons. She's got the endorsement from Biden, from Kamala, from Pelosi, from Elizabeth Warren. I mean, she got a couple more this week. I mean, and it is nuts. And what bums me out about it is we got a lot of problems here in LA. If this woman wins, you know, this is the second biggest city in the US. It's just going to be a continuation of more of the same. So as much as I want to be optimistic, man, it don't look good here in LA.
Well, look, I mean, New York City is not doing much better.
Right.
Look, any place run, I mean, look, Bass is basically Castro's little sister. So, I mean, if you're going to elect that, you know, I mean, you're going to get all the goodies and all the craziness that comes with it. I mean, yep. Chicago is a total disaster. I mean, look at that creature. That's the mayor of Chicago. I mean, it's just crazy. I mean, the governor's no better there. The governor's no better in California. I mean, it's a shame because a lot of Americans, and younger conservatives, I try to remind them that there were, once upon a time, California was kind of like Texas. Once upon a time, a Republican could get elected statewide. You know, the 49ers, baby. I mean, you know, the gold rush, and you had a renaissance where you had Nixon and Reagan, both from California, elected.
Go West, young man, the American dream.
Yeah, landslides. They won in landslides. But the reality is now, I mean, you basically are the testing ground, the petri dish for all the crazy crap they want to export to the other 49 states.
I say that on the show a lot. AJ, we're going to have to wrap this thing up. I have thoroughly enjoyed this. I would love for you to come back. Everybody, please go buy this book, The Walking Dead, How Society's Vogue Virus Destroys Our Culture. And I'll say this, for a lot of you guys who don't like to read books because you don't want to commit, like I don't like to commit to 3-hour movies, well, this book is broken up into vignettes, small pieces. You pick your favorites, roll like that, and it's funny. And AJ, you've done good work here, brother.
Brother Parker, I appreciate it. Love you.
All right, man. I love you too. And I hope you come back, and thank you for helping us out here at TNT. This has been a fun hour. We're going to have Dr. Jerome Corsi on next, and it's going to get even better. So stick around, folks. TNT, Deprogram. We'll be back.